And a remarkable season for this Buffalo Sabres team comes to an end even after a 2-0 comeback to tie this game 7-2. They had the city on the edge of their seats once again for the first time in a long time.
And who do you think there? Newhook coming down there, and he's been absolutely fabulous in this series. That's his seventh goal of the playoffs, I think sixth in this series. Nico Pekalukin playing a strong game there tonight. Just not able to get a piece of that one over on the far side in Montreal. There you are. Hey, you got to give them credit, Dan. They work hard. They work together. They're fast. They move the puck out of their zone pretty well. Their goaltending was very strong in this one. It's another young team here that is going to be battling with the Sabres for a long time to come. They're built very well. They're very well coached. And they got experience last year. They got the experience last year that the Sabres are getting here this year. And that might have been the difference in this one.
Newhook had the overtime winner against Tampa as well to get them here. And that shot didn't go off of anyone. Just a fluttering puck, though, that got by Luukkonen.
Yeah, it goes through Dahlin. It goes past him, past Evans, and you got Bowen Byram coming in. It just kind of a rolling puck. End over end over end, and it just lobs over the pad of Luukkonen, his left pad, into the far corner of the net.
Yeah, so 82 miles an hour on that shot, and as you say, with the way it's kind of fluttering like that, an even tougher pickup. What a season, Rob. We didn't expect this team would be here. You and I, at the beginning of the year, were looking at each other thinking, here we go again. And the Buffalo Sabres take all of us to a game 7 of round 2 and a goal away from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. So congrats to the guys.
Yeah, I think we got to look at it. And a lot of these guys that took major steps this year. And there were a lot of guys that, that for a while you were hoping they were going to, and they did this year. You know, Zach Benson doing a great job. You know, Bowen Byram having a heck of a year. Sam Carrick, when he came in, awesome. Peyton Krebs, I thought, really turned a corner here this year. Matias Samuelsson, Owen Power. You can just go on and on. There's been a lot of guys have really outstanding years. You got some young guys, Noah Oslin coming in, that Helenius that you're going to be looking for next year. You got to expect that both of those guys are going to be in the lineup here from the beginning of the season next year. So,
and Kinyeri Kulik.
Yeah, a lot of young, positive guys that you just proved they come in here and they show they can play. And there's not going to be no transition time here. They're going to step right in. It's going to be good right off the hop. So,
and you know what else this wasn't? It wasn't a nasty series. I mean, they fought hard and they battled and there were hits and there were words said and pushing and shoving and should we or shouldn't we go at it. But, you know, nothing was overly. And how about this? Guy's shaking hands with the referee here. Jason Zucker starting it and Malenstein coming over as well. And now the fans here at KeyBank Center who have been chanting "Let's go Buffalo," thanking their team for a ride, as I said, that I don't think anybody expected. They hoped for it, but
they
hope
for
it. Expected it.
Yeah, and you know what? The Sabres came through, and they did a good job there. And you know what? I look at it, and for a while, you haven't been exciting rolling to that season. I am now because I think they've got a really good opinion on what guys can do past the regular season now once they got into playoffs. A lot of the young guys, who can play, who do they really want to make sure they hone in on and keep. Some guys that could be moving up. There's a lot of guys here, I think, on this ice tonight that it may be their last game as a Sabre here because decisions are going to be made as the way guys played throughout the playoffs and that. And, you know, do they need to improve in certain areas? You know, the coaching staff all on last year's of their deal too, so who knows what's going to happen there. So a ton of questions within that Sabres dressing room right now, but I think the biggest thing is they can all look back and they can be pretty proud of what they accomplished here as a group and what they possibly learned from each other and what they can carry on into the future of their hockey careers, because I think they made a huge step. They grew together as a team, and I'll tell you what, it was pretty darn exciting there for the last few months covering this group.
Couldn't agree more. We always look forward to coming to the rink. Brian, I know you're there. We do a job here that not many in the world get to do in the greatest league in the world for this sport. And, you know, every night you came to the rink, certainly from December, let's just say December, not even the 9th, but you just, as Rob said, you could feel this team was ready to turn the corner, and they did. And, you know, I remember there's been a few nights you come to the rink and you kind of have chills a little bit thinking, hey, are we about to? And then tonight was one of them. You got it to 2-2 and you're starting to think, hey, this could be Carolina next. But, you know, this entire series, season series between these two teams, it went back and forth every game. I mean, this is no different than we saw between these two teams 11 times that they met this season.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, when you guys look at what you said about, well, where was this team in December? They were in dead last in the Eastern Conference, and they ended up being division champions and having home ice through the first two rounds.
Yep.
And right now, it's a lot of sting, I'm sure. And I think as time goes on, Rob, they'll look back at that accomplishment to one of the maybe the greatest in-season turnaround in the history of this franchise.
Yeah, I think they it has to be because, you know, you're sitting here and you're looking at it and you're thinking some of the times where in the last, you know, even a few years. Look back to St. Louis when they ended up winning the Cup. You know, they yeah. were dead last and they come and they got themselves into a great position, had a great playoffs, and ultimately win the Stanley Cup. You know, you obviously don't get to that point here, but you get yourself into the second round. That it doesn't happen too many times. Too many times, you know, it just continues to snowball and that team ends up last or, you know, their management is not willing to make the changes, or they make changes and you know, they kind of set you back a little bit farther. So that is the one thing right now with the management group of this team. I'm very confident in this group that they've sat back here and they've watched this whole playoff and they've seen an awful lot of things they liked and maybe some things they didn't like and maybe some decisions that they've had to, they're going to have to make here contract wise moving forward for guys coming in. But I think this playoff gives them that opportunity to see and make those decisions a lot easier and be more comfortable with the decisions they're making. So
that same feel, Rob, that I had was that, I think we were talking about this a couple days ago, but I said this is probably the most excited I've been, not that I wanted the offseason obviously to start now, but I knew when that time came,
yep.
no matter when. I'm really excited for it because, to your point, you want to see what the new minds now that are behind this team that have now seen a really good painting. They didn't see a team that was, okay, we got a good team. We're not sure how good they are. Well, now you've seen how good they can be. How do you get them to that next level? And a lot of that depth might already be in your organization.
It may be in your organization and limited, but, you know, I think that you get a good idea of when you're in these situations who can really step up and who you can count on.
Yeah, and what you might need.
Yeah,
right?
And so what you might need to maybe help to push them. So, you know, I think this was awesome that you got at least two rounds out of this that, you know, their management team could sit back and evaluate and decide what they're going to have to do forward. And I know they're highly aggressive and they're not going to hesitate to make the changes they need. So, you know, another one's going to be a big one, you know, both coaching staff of this team too. You know, all those guys yeah. on last year's deal, whether Lindy's going to come back, whether his group's going to be back. So there's a ton of decisions to be made here for the Sabres organization moving forward.
The immediacy of how a game seven and a series can end. It's tough to take in the home building in the sense that there's probably, of the 19,000 that showed up here, 18,500 of them wearing blue and gold that just immediately, like, their heart sinks
yeah.
instantly. And, you know, eventually, as you heard, the support and the cheers of Let's Go Buffalo for the team. But I mean, just that I guess that's part of, though, why
it
we enjoy
is,
sports,
it is,
right?
You know, like,
yeah.
instantly, right off the hop, it's like, ah, God dang it. You know, it's over, and you're, yeah. and you're mad. Tomorrow you wake up and you go, you know what? Those guys did a pretty good job. And, you know, you start thinking about a lot of the positives that happened here and a lot of the performances out of a lot of different guys that really matured as players and things you got to look forward to moving into next year. Hey, the last few years you didn't have that. So now you do. And I think the big thing is you know, before in the past it was like, what pick are we getting? You know, where are we getting in the draft? Who cares about the draft right now? The things that are going to happen with this team are going to happen through trades, whether it's going to be free agency or anything like that. So that's what I'm excited for.
You've got a whole bunch yeah. of young players, Dan, too, that I mean, we saw and even got glimpses of in the playoffs here, like Konstantelos all of a sudden just jumps right in. And
yeah.
not only does Lindy give him the opportunity, but he thrives with it.
Yeah.
And you have other players like Yuri Kulik, who didn't even
Noah
get into
Oslin
the playoffs.
Noah Oslin stepped in.
Noah Oslin.
Was awesome.
I mean, those are three players that could be part of the regular lineup and be here for 82 games next regular season.
Well, and listen, they're different times of their careers, but I'll say, like, Oslin could have been your new hook in this situation because he's the type of guy that you throw out as your, you know, your second line. You can even sneak him in on a third line situation, and all of a sudden he's coming down the wall and he's that guy taking that shot, right? A reliable player. He's not going to put you in any harm's way. You know what? I'm just watching some of the stuff here on our screen. I'm just really happy, and I know Rob can speak to this because you have a son who you've got some kids that stood outside at Canalside and watched games and in neighborhoods in Buffalo that have never done it in their entire lifetime, and they're 15 years old, you know. And I'm not trying to be corny with this, but as you say, when you step away from the disappointment, because I was planning to go to Carolina on Wednesday, had it in my head, we're going. And when they got to 2-2, I thought, holy cow, we're going. But now I'll be cutting the grass like Rob, and I'll be thinking about the season, and I'll be thinking about these people got to experience, so this city did, a whole generation that have not even had an idea what it's like. So I'm happy for them. And further to the player part, these guys might have heard how hard it is, Rob, to win. Montreal's only halfway there.
Trust me.
Now you've been there, right?
And it's a great eye. Like I said, they got a little taste of it last year. Montreal did, you know, and now they handle different situations a little differently here. Yeah. Whether, you know, 7 games with Tampa, 7 games with the Sabres, that's a pretty strong push for a young team that's only been through a handful of playoff games coming into it, and it's not as if they're really deep with guys, veteran guys. So give them a lot of credit. Marty St. Louis had them up and ready to go, and you know, making the difference, but. Yeah, I just listened to Rick Tocchet the other day about the Philadelphia Flyers, and he was elated that even though they lost in the second round by Carolina, getting killed by them, he goes, you know how good this was? This was great, because every different experience they had, whether getting beat up in games, getting beat in games, you know, everything that went along with it, he goes, it's only going to help us. Mm-hmm. And he's 100% right.
Yeah, you got to get there. 100%. You got to experience everything in life. And just for these guys, I think, because to your point that, a lot of times you'll say, well, and there might be a couple guys that aren't back, but the majority of this group is coming back. I mean, the majority of this group is going to say, we've been there, done that. It doesn't guarantee you CRAP, but the fact that you know what it takes now, more than thinking you know what it takes, now you know. It's not a, no, but we're good, we got this. No, now you know.
How do you know a majority is coming back?
Well, I would say majority. I'm
contract-wise, they are, yes. Can any trade happen? Of course.
Well, are we talking majority by one, though?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying majority. Who knows? You know, that's all the things they have to evaluate. Yeah. They may look at it and go, okay, we need, you know, different or third, second line, but, you know, when we get to the playoffs and this and that. So now that they have the assets, they're deep enough that they can move some either young ones, move the old ones, replace them with young ones. And, you know, you're not handcuffed now. So you've got draft capital. You've got plenty of room financially that if you want to go sign guys, that, you know, I would say they're going to look at it and go, we want to win now. You got Dolly and you got Thompson. You guys got
these guys under now.
Their window for contracts, for age, for everything is right there.
Samuelson.
Let's go take advantage of it. Let's build a team for next season.
Yeah, maybe it's to say they figured out. We always talked about the Sabres trying to find their new identity, right? Because you rightfully lean on the past of an organization to give you, you know, kind of strength and saying, this is why you're a Sabre. This is what you are. This is what you play for people in this town. But you got to find your own identity as a team. And this is what this version of the Montreal Canadiens has done, because there's no Guy Lafleur out there. There's no Steve Shutt. There's no Yvon Cornway. You know, they got the Caulfield, Suzuki, and Lane Hutson. Are there three pillars right now? And they got a goaltender they hope is going to be good. They've already anointed him in Montreal.
Played pretty darn well.
Yeah, he played really well in the series. For Buffalo, what I should have said is they know their identity as a team. They know how they win, right? They attack you. They go at you. And they did that to get back in this game, which was really cool. So, that's what sports does. It lifts you up, and then it brings you down for a sec. But Rob brings up a good point. Razor always tells me, he says, you might be bummed out a little bit here, but your life is not really changed tomorrow except,
No. For all the disappointment at this moment, it's a lot better than you and I in March talking about them already being eliminated.
Absolutely.
Right? So, this is way better, right? I mean, it stings right now for everybody involved. But in the end, watching this, covering this, for anybody that's, whether you're a fan, a player, a staff member, you know, as you said, we're lucky to have a microphone in front of us during this. Yeah. This is much better than what has been for the last 14 years.
A tremendous amount of national notoriety. As Dan said, a younger group of a generation in town that has never seen playoff hockey. My son, a part of it, 17-year-old, never seen.
They love Sabre players now.
They love
Ovechkin
it. They know
someone.
They're not talking about Alex Ovechkin. They're talking about Tage Thompson. The interest, the excitement's there. Yeah. So there's so much happen here this season with this group of guys that is going to be – paying dividends moving forward for the whole organization. So it was a fun ride.
Hey, Rob and I have listened to you on the post-game show for many years driving home. For me, it's been 13 here, but I know because we sometimes would call each other. We felt for you in those years doing a post-game show about trying to figure it out. So to Rob's point and to your point, way better conversation tonight, even though people are disappointed. Some people might even be a little angry because they're fans. I get it. But, end of the day.
Don't be angry.
That's not to be there. Yeah, don't be angry. And may I say, to stay out of the business of everything, but I know it's been a run for the Sabres Hockey Network where we are right now, and I know you've been a part of it. So I want to thank you for that. Obviously, Rob and I are not part of the business of anything, so who knows what the future holds. But I know we'll see you and everyone else around the rink covering games. To what degree, we don't know. But I want to thank you for everything you've done, certainly on behalf of everyone in Buffalo and being part of the Sabres Hockey Network and the flagship station.
Yeah, it's been fun. 19 seasons hosting, and this has been obviously the farthest they've gone in those 19 seasons. So that's been good.
19, really?
Well, yeah.
You were blaming me.
Well, you are mostly the fault for everything that's gone on here for the last few years. But I won't tell anybody that.
You just had a game 7. You're welcome.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, we got to get Brian the show back because I'm sure Paul's already – he's ready to
Paul wants more airtime, by the way.
Back to you, Brian. Yeah, exactly.
Paul's going
to
carve me on my drum skills, and he's going to try to be
funny. Yeah, he wasn't happy with your rhythm, he says. Just for the record, I'm just letting you know what's coming.
Yeah, but I got talent. I don't have rhythm.
That's right.
I'm talented and good-looking, and rhythm is the only thing I'm lacking.
Okay, I'll let Paul know that.
Okay, I think everybody just heard it.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Rob. All right, Game 7 goes to Montreal, and the series 4-3. Post-game will continue when we come back here. I'm Brian Colesdale. Thanks for listening. We got a lot to get to, so don't go anywhere right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to the Press Box here along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Overtime winner for the Canadiens, Alex Newhook, in Game 7, 11-22 into the overtime, gets it done, and it eliminates the Buffalo Sabres. They will finish this season now losing in 7 in the second round of the postseason. As we welcome you back, thanks to Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray, we continue our discussion here. I'm Brian Colesdale, Pat Malacaro, Owen Parker from our flagship station WGR and along the Sabres Radio Network team here. Going to continue on as we are just past 11 o'clock here. We, of course, will be getting some locker room sound here shortly. We'll hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff at the podium. We'll also get player interviews from the room with Paul Hamilton coming up here in just a little bit. But Montreal, playing the role of spoiler here as the road team continues to just find ways to win, takes Game 7 here. And, Pat, we'll start with you. We were just talking with Dan and Rob. The immediacy of a Game 7 and how a series can end literally on any rush. You and I were talking about during the intermission, every entry feels like this could be it, this could be it. And obviously for Montreal it was.
And each team had a couple of opportunities before that to end it. You know, Tage Thompson comes in and just isn't able to get the shot off and not get a quality chance. So you look at both ends of the ice. Both teams had opportunities, maybe a post earlier in the overtime from Montreal. So each side had chances in those 10 or 11 minutes leading up to that game-winning goal. But your best players had the puck on their stick, and it's what you want. It's just sometimes it doesn't go in and go your way, and for the Sabres it didn't. For Montreal, a puck that goes to the net that gets deflected off a player crashing the net is the difference in the series that was even the entire time.
Yeah, Owen, the final goal there is one that gets through some traffic. How'd you see that in terms of maybe how it got Pat by Luukkonen and in?
Yeah, well, at first it looked like a real leaky one from Luukkonen, but after some closer looks on a video replay, it looks like it goes off to Montreal player's hand or stick as they're driving the center lane and just deflects it enough to throw Luukkonen off. It still kind of goes through him. It's maybe one you would still like to see him make a save on, but it is a tough ask after a deflection like that. But man, it was really a good, solid game from Luukkonen from the start. I think the two goals that go in weren't really on him, and then he made some unbelievable saves. I think of the two on Caulfield in the first that were really stellar, and just can't quite get to the last one. I think it's really kind of was the worry all along about Lukanen was we know he can make all the big hard saves, but will there be a leaky one that gets through him? And I think you could kind of get there on that 3-2 overtime winner from Newhook being a little leaky, even though it does get tipped and deflect in. It is one that kind of goes through him and maybe one you would like to have stopped, especially in overtime of a game seven.
Tough when he's definitely their best player in period one for that.
Right.
Could have been a 3-0 or 4-0 Montreal lead maybe at one point. But then the Sabres do fight back. Let's go to a moment in the game that obviously probably will be discussed here at length over the next few days, and that is what appears maybe to be the go-ahead goal from Malenstein. Owen, the officials maybe a little quick to the whistle, maybe a little bit thinking that Dobish had it covered, but poked through, it trickles through, and Malenstein just kind of just taps it in because it's sitting there, but the officials end up blowing it dead. How'd you see it playing out?
I thought it was a quick whistle. I thought the Sabres got, you know, they got jobbed a little bit on that play. I think that is a goal that should count, regardless of whether Greenway is the one that knocks it loose or not. I think that whistle is really quick. And I don't think Dobesh knew where it was. He never really did. I think that happened a lot tonight. That should tell the refs maybe we shouldn't give this guy quick whistles if we know he's been looking up in the air, unaware of where the puck is all night long. And to know that, have that happen in the game so much, and then give them that quick a whistle on that play at that time of the game, I think it's a really tough call. I don't think that it was the right move. I think it really ended up coming back to bite the Sabres here, clearly. I mean, that was it. You never know what could have happened. Montreal pulls the goalie late, and maybe they tie it up and we go to overtime anyways. But the way the Sabres were playing at that point, I think they were carrying the play handily. And if that goes in, I think it's pretty much game over. And, you know, it's a quick whistle, and the Sabres season is now over.
Add it to the list, Pat, of Buffalo sports lore where there's controversy in some capacity, unfortunately.
And you go back to the end of the second period, and Montreal is kind of hanging on for dear life. The Sabres are just running them over in their end the entire time. So this is a night where Montreal just got the breaks that they needed to survive the Sabres. Hard to say that, I guess, when you win 3-2 in overtime, but it felt like they were surviving a lot of that game against the Sabres. I didn't think Montreal really had all that quality of chances from the final 40 minutes. Everything was on the outside. They tried going to the middle of the ice, and even the plays from behind the net were to try and set up, you know, a man down the slot. Everything was shut off. The Sabres played the game pretty flawlessly for the most part from the first period on, and it's just one of those nights where, whether it's the quick whistle, whether it's just surviving the second period, Montreal just had the breaks kind of go their way in this one, and in a game seven, that's the difference in the series.
Shot attempts were 91-59 in favor of the Sabres in this one.
So I believe it.
The pressure, a ton of that was, I think, the second half of period two, Owen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sabres really were the better team tonight for 55-plus minutes. I think the first period, they got sloppy early, and really there was really one stretch about 5 minutes in the first period where they looked good, and then the rest of the game, they controlled it. They looked like the better team. They had the better chances. They had the obvious advantage in shots and shot attempts. I think their goaltender was playing well, and they just couldn't quite, like you said, Pat, get the bounces. There was the crazy schmozzle at the side of the net at the end of the second period that it seems stunning that puck didn't end up in the net. There was the quick whistle, all of these things that could have just broken half a percent different, and I think this result ends up differently, and it's the second game seven in a row where I think Montreal was heavily outplayed and still found a way to come out on top.
One player that'll be discussed for sure for a variety of reasons will be Alex Tuck, Pat, because the immediacy that his contract will be coming to an end. Will there be an extension before July 1st hits and free agency starts across the league? And Tuck's, let's just say, he was as snake-bitten as anybody in this series here, and no points on a night still where he had some chances but just couldn't find a way to get it in.
Yeah, it was different the last two games. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but it felt different the last two games. He was getting chances where he wasn't earlier in the series. He was a non-factor for the first maybe four games of the series, five games of the series. But last game, Dobesh made a couple of big saves on him, maybe missed the net on one or two. And tonight, again, it was an up-and-down game. overall for Tuck, some things you like, some things you don't like, but I never felt like over the course of the night that he was costing this team opportunities or giving up the puck so much that it was hindering the team. So I think this was just one of those come off the series where against Boston, he and Tage Thompson could do no wrong. And just this series, it flipped 180 degrees in the other direction, and he could do no right. And whether it's injury, whether it's exhaustion, whether it's, you know, a long season and you have those stretches like this, for whatever reason, this series he just was not able to perform the way he did in round one.
3-2, Montreal victorious in overtime. 11-22, Mark Newhook, seventh of the playoffs, pushes Montreal on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll take on Carolina on Thursday in game one. The Hurricanes haven't played for over 2 weeks. And Montreal has now gone back-to-back game seven road wins and figured out a way to get it done. So regardless of maybe how we think maybe the Sabres are the better team in this night, pretty impressive, Owen, that Montreal is able to go game seven road win to move on to the East Finals.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a testament to their ability to stay resilient, especially in games where they're getting steamrolled at times. They trusted their goaltender, Jakub Dobish, to keep them in it, and he did it both times. I mean, Tampa Bay was a great regular season team, great playoff team, as we know their history, and they were able to get by him 1-0 with only a handful of shots in their first round game seven. And then, you know, tonight again, I think we've said it I don't know how many times here. I think Montreal got steamrolled for the majority of this game and did not necessarily deserve to win. But when you've got a goaltender that makes saves when you need them, that factors in, and that means maybe you did deserve to win. If you've got a goaltender that can make those saves and beat the other goaltender on the other side, that's part of the game out there, folks. It's just the way it goes. And so I think that's really a place that Montreal is going to look to in the future to rely on. Clearly, it's been crucial for them in advancing in both of their first two series in these playoffs, and they're going to need them again against Carolina, that's for sure.
In this series now that it finishes up in seven games, five of the seven times the road team came out on top. And now for the 51st time, an OT game, I'm sorry, game seven has gone to OT. Now that updated record now is home team a slight edge, 27-24. We can add a 24th win on here for the road team. But, yeah, five times the road team ends up winning. And we've spent the entire series, Pat, trying to figure out why the Sabres can't win in this building, and I'm sure there's been similar discussions in Montreal of why they can't close it out at Bell Center where they're supposed to have the best home ice advantage in hockey.
And it goes back to last round. After winning the opening game of the series against Boston, the Sabres win three on the road to win their four games of the series. So just for whatever reason, we've talked about it going into the playoffs. I genuinely don't think outside of Montreal, we're a place where the Sabres perform well, that there really is home ice advantage, especially the way these leagues are set up in all sports for the word parity. You know, everyone's so close. We all thought this series was going to be as razor-thin margin as it was. So there really is no advantage other than, do you have a hot goaltender? Do you have a player that's on a real hot stretch right now that has three goals or five goals in three games or something like that to lead your team? And that, again, we talk about the goaltending. Maybe the difference in this series where both teams are so evenly matched.
3-2, Montreal victorious. We expect to hear from Lindy Ruff here shortly from the media area downstairs, and then we'll have locker room interviews as well. We'll hear from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I'm sure we'll hear from Rasmus Dahlin and others here along the way as Paul Hamilton is down there getting interviews. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Well, again, the final shot totals end up 39-25 in favor of the Sabres. The shot attempts 91-55 in this game. Power plays, there was only one on each side. The Sabres, 0 of 1, not much of their one chance, and the Canadiens scored on theirs with just a few seconds left, 1 of 1. Owen, this was a game that was pretty much called like you could predict in an NHL Game 7 that they weren't going to call anything unless it was blood from a high stick or somebody throwing the puck out of their own end into the stands.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what you expect at this time of year in a Game 7. And really, it kind of does make it all easier for the players and the referees because they know what the standard is. You're not going to get called for anything unless it is egregious. And at the very least, then you know what you're getting away with, which is maybe not the case in all these games, especially like we've seen maybe throughout this series, the standard has shifted vastly from what we saw. So I think, you know, there was nothing unexpected about the way that tonight was refereed, aside from some of the, you know, the early whistle, maybe the non-call Zucker on interference on Dobesh could be argued on the Montreal side. There was the kick in. There's a bunch of question marks, but none of them really in the penalty area.
Maybe I'm a dinosaur, but that's the way I want Game 7 to be played out. Outside of you grabbing somebody and throwing them to the ice and keeping them from scoring, I mean, I want the players to be able to have the freedom of being able to settle the game. And if that makes me a dinosaur, I think outside of one or two very important moments in this game, not downplaying it, the officials got the game right.
Yep.
In some sense, if you know going in, each team's only going to get one, I'd say advantage Sabres, because whose power play has been more lethal? It's been Montreal's, and whose power play has struggled? Now, it sounds silly for me to say that. Buffalo just went 4-5 in their last game, but if I was going to take my chances of a power play having an impact on this game, it would be Montreal, and well, lo and behold, guess what? They got one. They were 1-1, and the Sabres were 0-1, so it does impact the game in terms of the sense that Montreal's power play comes out. But if you would say you're not going to call anything, there's barely going to be any power play time, probably for Buffalo, you'd say, oh, hey, more 5-on-5 action. That's better for the way we play.
Absolutely, and I think that it worked out that way, that the Sabres controlled the play 5-on-5 for the entire game, really, and it just they weren't able to break through on Dobesh. There were a couple of good saves he made, a couple of chances that roll off high and wide, a couple that just are passed up looking for an extra pass, and I think those all added up to really just cost the Sabres. It was a really strong game in every department aside from finishing from the Sabres. They did all the hard work to get to the good areas. They made great plays. They were good in transition. I think they did everything that has brought them success all year long. They just couldn't quite get past Dobesh, and that's, you know, that can be the difference in these games, especially in a winner-takes-all Game 7 scenario. If you've got a hot goalie or a team that's maybe overpassing on some opportunities, you're going to be in some trouble.
3-2 Montreal in overtime. They'll move on to take on Carolina starting on Thursday in the Eastern Finals. The Sabres season comes to an end here tonight at KeyBank Center. Our three stars now brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts. Ready to improve your home's comfort game plan? Get started at BlueStarHS.com. Third star, Rasmus Dahlin. He had Buffalo's second goal of the game for Montreal. Jakub Dobesh is the second star of the game-winning goaltender for the Canadiens. And Alex Newhook, who got the game winner. He is star number one tonight. Of course, a sellout, announced crowd, 19,070, as Buffalo can't get it done on home ice. They lose game 2, 5, and 7 in this building, and their only home win was in game 1 of this series. Their other two wins came at the Bell Center. And again, a storyline of the series, the road team dominating play overall. Again, though, now, just a real quick thought on that East Final upcoming, Pat, here. I mean, intrigue in the sense Carolina has won eight in a row, dominating play. But they haven't played in now what's going to be over 2 weeks by the time this goes here. So is there such a thing as too much rest? Is there such a thing maybe as rust? I mean, Montreal now has gone grueling a pair of seven-game series against Tampa and Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think maybe for the first 10 minutes of the first game of the next round, you may see a rusty Carolina team. But let's not forget how they've played, and beyond winning each of their series in four games, they've just locked it down, and they've just played such sound, fundamental hockey. And for Montreal, I think the Sabres kind of laid the blueprint of how you're going to beat them, and Carolina, they don't necessarily need that.
Yeah. 3-2 the final, Montreal. Lindy Ruff is making his way to the media room. Let's take you there live to hear from the Sabres head coach.
You know, I thought it was a little bit of a quick whistle, and because you can always go back and look at those, and but didn't really get an explanation on it.
Lindy, with the way this series went back and forth, I mean, did you and your staff anticipate overtime and this kind of ending? And how do you as a coach prepare for a sudden death and possibly season-ending overtime?
Well, I think we said at the start of this series it was going to be two really good teams playing. We had some momentum swings, and you get to overtime. We had a couple of really good chances. I mean, we had the chances in our hands. Those are the opportunities that you hope you get. We just didn't finish. We had a couple of great opportunities, even in the third, the Hellenius toe slash glove save that that almost went. You know, I think the ice was fairly tilted. We had a lot of opportunities to make a difference in the game.
Lindy, when you're going into that overtime, the way the game had been uphill and now you finally had a lot of momentum going, how much did you think to yourself, you're looking in that room, somebody's going to be a hero for this team?
I thought it was just part of our journey. You know, a tough start where, you know, we let one go in off a skate. A penalty that we were, almost had killed. We got just a little bit aggressive and left net front. But these guys never quit all year. Just another indication. You know, you battle hard. We stayed with the game. We get one to make it 2-1, and we talked about playing the game the right way, and made a great play off a face-off, and Darlene got us tied. And I really felt that the game was right there for us.
On a personal level, what are the initial emotions of the season ending that way tonight?
You know, it hurts. I told the team it hurts. That pain will go away. But I won't let this one game define the season we had. I told the players how proud I was of them. The battle, you know, we took into game 6 in Montreal and then came back here and gave ourselves every chance to win. So this one game doesn't define our season for us.
Lindy, the way Rasmus played in the playoffs and these last couple in particular, it almost looked like at times he wanted to will you to victory. Can you speak to just what he did these last couple games and how dynamic he was at times?
Yeah, I mean, he was on his toes. He wanted to be a difference every opportunity he could be. Played one heck of a... I mean, you look at our top couple guys in Game 6. They played a heck of a game to give us the win. Again, tonight, Dahls tied the game for us. I thought Tomer in overtime had the great look that could have won us the game. It didn't go.
Lindy obviously played well enough to win tonight, as you talked about, but to drop 5 of 7 at home in these playoffs, I mean, how much of that will you chew on in the offseason?
Yeah, that hurts. You know, it was strange in the East, the disparity with the home and road. You know, besides the start of the game, I thought this was probably one of our better games where we really tilted the ice and had the game in our favor. But again, didn't find a way to win it. You know, our fans have been so great. You go back to the end of the year, the momentum they helped us with, the energy in this building. It would have been nice to close this one out here. Just a gift for how good they've been. Didn't quite get that done.
Of all the teams you've coached, what makes this one unique? What are you going to remember most about this specific group?
Just the resiliency, that you never quit. All the challenges we faced, some personal challenges with players, some injuries to start the year, and just to keep coming back. And once we hit December and we got a little bit healthy, just to keep coming back and winning games. Even, you know, you can look at the Boston game 1. You know, looking like we may get beat in game 1, and just the effort in the last 10 minutes to win that hockey game. This was a team that they never quit. And they probably had every excuse to at times, but they always found a reason to win.
Lindy, walking off the ice, you know, fans are chanting for you guys. I'm curious what you're thinking as you're walking off there, just looking up. I saw you give them a round of applause.
And just how great they've been. I mean, just the energy in the city, the energy around our team again. I'm so proud of our fans. And I know that this hurts them as much as it hurts us. But... the energy around our team, around the city, in this building, outside the building. This was the first time our players got to experience something like this. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the way our city represented themselves with our play.
Hey, Lindy, in Montreal, they mentioned a couple of the players between the third period and overtime, you know, addressed the team, kind of gave them a little pep talk, essentially, to get their confidence back. The coach addressed the team. What if anything, was said in the Buffalo dressing room?
I talked about the way we finished the period. A little bit on the, you know, the second period, longer changes, can't get caught. But just let's get after this and try to finish the deal, really. And, you know, the rest, I left the room, so I don't know what the players had to say.
Lindy, what got you to your game that allowed you to not only tie the game up but just have multiple chances to try to win the hockey game? What got you to that part of your game?
You know, I thought our puck play was really good after a while. We played quick. We went north in a hurry. We got pucks in behind, and we won a lot of battles. When you look at some of the forecheck pressure we put on, they couldn't get out of the zone. And I thought, you know, those individual battles were the ones that probably got us going. If you look at, you know, even our first goal, just the battles around net front. You know, I looked at, after two periods, I wasn't happy with the amount of times we missed the net. You know, we missed the net too many times on good opportunities. But I thought we got people there and the puck started getting on net.
You mentioned that you wouldn't let this one game define the season. Are you able, this soon after this game ended, to sort of appreciate the massive step forward that this team, this organization, took after such a long playoff drought?
I am. You know, this is a giant step for us, a giant step for all the players to really get a feel what it's really like, that to be proud of being a Buffalo Sabre, to be proud of playing here. And, you know, I took the job. I thought number one was I wanted these guys to like being a Buffalo Sabre. I think they like being a Sabre, and I think they did our city proud. It wasn't the result we wanted. And to a man, they're all disappointed. But they gave me everything they had in their tank. Thanks.
All right, good perspective there from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff after the 3-2 overtime win in Game 7 by Montreal, as we bring it back up here to the press box. Brian Colesdale, Pat Mellicaro, Owen Parker here with you. All of our locker room reports are brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Pat, I like the line. He said, when I took the job, I wanted them to like being a Buffalo Sabre. You and I have talked on many post games for a decade or more about not quite sure if everybody in that room liked being a Buffalo Sabre. That, I think, has definitely changed.
The culture in that room is different than it was 9 months ago. I think, yeah, these last 2 years, Lindy Ruff has done a lot of work on that, and it's some of the roster changeover over these last couple of years that has done that. Winning always makes that better, but I think when you have players like Alex Tuck, who, you know, grew up a Sabres fan just a couple hours away from here, guys that wanted to take on the responsibility of being leaders on this team.
All right, let's go down to the media room. Alex Newhook, the game winner for Montreal. He's now speaking to the media.
All of a sudden, you look and you scored the winning goal in two consecutive game sevens. And just if you could ever have imagined what this journey would be like.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, it takes the whole group to get where we're at right now. But, you know, I'm very proud to be from Newfoundland, Labrador, and to be able to represent my province on the biggest stage here in the playoffs. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure back home everyone's having a great time right now. I don't think the time of day really matters to them. So I'm sure they're having a good time back home.
Just the moment the puck goes in the net, what's that like for a player?
I mean, there's a lot of emotions, relief, excitement, just, you know, jumping off the boards as fast as you can to get over and celebrate. So that was an amazing shot, amazing play. you know, it took everything that we had to, you know, get through this series. And, you know, now we got to just reset, get some rest, and you know, get ready to go to Carolina.
Hi, question for Alex. This overtime goal compared to the one against the Lightning, what's the difference in the feeling of scoring in OT?
Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit more relief in OT because, you know, you don't have to keep holding on to the lead. Maybe, you know, it's done, but, you know, both great feelings. And, yeah, like Sue said, it's a great feeling, but I've got to reset and we'll move forward here.
Hey, guys, congratulations. Nick, this one's for you. Sorry to go all big picture after you just won a game seven in overtime, but you've obviously been through this entire journey from start to finish, and now you're in the final four teams. You were picking in the top five for, you know, 3 years in a row. Just, you always wanted this to go quickly. Did you imagine it could go this quickly, and what do you think the steps were to make it happen when it did?
Yeah, it's been a long journey for sure. You know, from when we went to the cup final, then we finished last place in the whole league, to know where we are now. You know, there's been a lot of different steps, a lot of different, you know, we trade for Nui, we trade for Docker, we draft really well. We get, you know, a lot of studs through the draft that have an impact right away. So, you know, that really put our process further in motion. And, you know, ever since Marty came, and we've, you know, had a belief that we could be a really good team really quickly. And, you know, guys have really bought into how we play and everything that Marty preaches. So, you know, it's really cool to be in this situation this fast and being such a young team. You know, we just have a lot of fun, and I just want to keep the journey going.
Nick, to your left. Hi. It's a pressure-packed situation. I mean, overtime game seven. How did you manage as a group to shake off that pressure after their tying goal and also in overtime?
Yeah, it just, you know, they really took it to us in the second and third. And once the game got tied, I think, you know, we actually started to play better. You know, we knew we had to keep playing, keep trying to, you know, score. You're not trying to protect the lead anymore. So thought our overtime was really good. And, you know, it's, you can't let the, you know, the moment get too big. You know, it's just another hockey game, and, you know, we have to, you know, keep doing the things that make us successful. And we were able to do that. And obviously, Nui makes a big play to win it for us.
Hi, Alex. I'm going back to the Friday, going back to the game-winning goal. What exactly going through your mind when you're seeing the puck going in at that moment?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if Jake touched it, so I kind of looked at him to see if he was going to celebrate or not. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a crazy feeling. A lot of emotion, obviously. You know, it was a war all series long, and, you know, for it to end up being game seven in overtime, you know, sometimes it just takes one shot. And coming across the line, you just thought, you know, there was a shot opportunity. So great to see it find the back of the net, and there's no better feeling celebrating with your teammates there after a win like that.
Also for Alex, you're one of four teams left. You're the only player on this team that's won a Stanley Cup. What do you see when you look in your room that makes you feel you have the ingredients to continue going through these playoffs?
Yeah, I think we got all the pieces. You know, we're a team that plays with a lot of pace. I think, you know, when we're playing our style, we're a really hard team to play against for anyone. You know, we're a deep team. I think in playoffs you need to have depth, and you need to be able to, you know, get something from everyone in the lineup. And I think we've had that from the start of playoffs up until now. And you know, Dobbs is playing really well. We're confident in him, and we're confident in everyone in the room. So you know, I think we know what we're capable of, and we're excited to keep it rolling here.
Hi, Alex. On the lighter side, are you generally a superstitious guy? And does the coffee thing you do with Phil in the morning what does it bring to you in these?
Yeah, it's become a bit of a superstition. From I don't know what game it started, maybe game two or something like that, but. Yeah, it's fun. I think, you know, when you talk about superstitions, I think a lot of times in playoffs, those superstitions kind of get elevated a little bit compared to the regular season. So when something works, you don't really change it. And Phil was just as happy to buy me coffee as I was to receive it from him. So maybe we'll keep that thing going.
Alex, just on the shot, like you kind of pull it back a bit. Are you, and there certainly was a dip on it. Were you trying to put some English on it, or were you just trying to put it through Darlene?
Yeah, no, I think it hopped up my stick a little bit after watching the replay, but yeah, I was just trying to use him as a screen, you know, and just pull it in a little bit and get it on net. I think when you come in on your forehand and drag it to the middle, sometimes you use the D as a screen. So the dip was helpful for sure, but not to. I didn't try to do it. Yeah.
Book down in the media area. He's the hero for the Canadiens. He gets his seventh of the playoffs at the 11:22 mark of the OT to end this series. And for the second straight series, Montreal wins a game seven. They did it against Tampa in the first round, now against Buffalo here in the second round, and they'll be off to take on Carolina on Thursday. Back up here in the press box, Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro, Owen Parker. We're going to have locker room interviews. We're going to hear from Sabres captain Rasmus Dahlin, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and others, as Paul Hamilton has gotten some interviews, so we'll have that coming up here in just one moment. Of course, Newhook's goal is the goal of the game tonight, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Well, being in the building, we haven't had playoffs, Pat, in so long, but being in the building for a Game 7 OT, like, I can see why the stress, you know, fans having maybe their stomachs in knots, every entry feels like maybe this could be the end here, like, the old ABC Wide World of Sports saying, right, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, like, it's all wrapped up in one there in that overtime.
Hockey's different. I know in football you can have an interception that can end a playoff game, but in hockey you've got one shot that can end a game, whereas in other sports, I was at a World Series extra inning game in baseball this year in the World Series. Each team gets a chance to bat. Basketball, you've got a time limit. So hockey's unique in the fact that you've got the puck on your stick, and whether it's a turnover, whether it's a big pass up the ice, a fluky bounce, that can change the pendulum of you going out of the next round and you going home for the season, which is so unique to the sport.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we saw it tonight, right? A knuckle puck from Newhook is what gets it done. It wasn't a great shot. It wasn't really anything significant. It was just a rush entry after a giveaway at the blue line by Thompson and Dahlin, and it ends up getting through, and that's the end of it. And I just want to clarify real quick. I saw a few more replays. It does not actually get tipped on the way. It's just a knuckle puck straight off Newhook's stick.
Yeah.
I gave Luukkonen a little bit of leeway there. I want to take that away now. That is not a goal that can go in. It just isn't. And so, like you said, it can end at any moment. And that one on a relatively harmless shot from the outside, that ends the Sabres season.
Tough when Luukkonen had played so well in the game, Owen.
Right.
And the argument, of course, could say, well, without his good play, there is no overtime. So, I mean, you've got to throw that out there, too, just as much as a fair criticism of giving up the game winner.
Of course, yeah. He played a very, very strong game for the most part, but the reality of the job that he does, the reality of the goaltending position is that one mistake can burn you, and one mistake can erase all that good work that is done. And that will be what is remembered about this game. Nobody's going to remember the Caulfield saves in the first period, other than maybe me, because I'm a goalie and I remember them. But that is not going to be what's talked about. What's going to be talked about is a flipper beat him through the body in overtime to end the season. That's the reality of it.
And you're right, because I was in this building sitting in the seats in 2001. I don't remember anything that happened in regulation between the Sabres and the Penguins. I remember Darius Kasparaitis being Dominic Hasek in Hasek's what turned out to be his final game as a Sabre. That's the only memory I have from that game. He may have made 35 10 bell saves before that, but one play is all you remember from what was probably a you know, it's a heartbreaking game for the Sabres, but a fun, you know, atmosphere for a game seven.
All I remember from that game is Hasek immediately leaving the ice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I, as you said, it ended up being his last time. But because of that reaction and because of the goal against, you're saying, like, for the dominator to let that in, that shouldn't have been the way that the script was supposed to go with how good of a goalie he was. And it ends up obviously going now. So the Sabres drop to 1-7 all time in game sevens. This one, obviously, in this building now, we've had three of them. The Derek Plant winner against Ottawa in 97. We just mentioned Casper Reitis, Pittsburgh over Buffalo, and now Alex Newhook. 11-22 into the overtime, gets it done for a 3-2 win for Montreal. They move on to the Eastern Finals to take on Carolina on Thursday. All right. Before we say goodbye to the network, Owen Parker, I know we're going to let you go. We'll hear from you and Jeremy and Joe on our flagship station tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., but I know you and I have gotten a lot of airtime together here during these playoffs, and you've done a tremendous job. Love the insight you've been giving, Owen, so keep up the good work. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, Brian and Pat, everybody that's been up here all season. You guys have all made it a really, really special experience, and I'm grateful to be able to do it and try and bring a little bit extra to the broadcast whenever I can. So can't wait for next year, whatever it looks like, and we're going to have a good time. So thank you guys all out there listening, too. I really appreciate it. So, yeah, great, great special year. I think this is a year everyone is going to look back on finally, despite a disappointing end here in Game 7. To Montreal. I think it was a really magical season, and I'm grateful to have been a small part of it. So thank you, guys.
Yep. Good job, Owen. Thank you. All right, Pat, you're going to stick around?
Sounds good.
All right. Paul's on his way up, so we'll hear from Paul Hamilton. We also have interviews coming up with Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen, and Captain Rasmus Dahlin. That's all coming up here. But at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can listen in on the Odyssey app. Just search WGR or go to WGR550.com and click on that listen tab in the upper right-hand corner. Final score, Game 7, goes to the Canadiens. 3-2 the final in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up live here from the press box on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The Canadiens hunting for loose pucks here. The Sabres are known. That's where they want to play the game from. And now you've got Evans going to the net. There's a shot. Scores! The Canadiens in overtime with the counter. And they go to the Eastern Conference Final as they win it 3-2 with 8:38 remaining in the overtime period. And a remarkable season for this Buffalo Sabres team comes to an end even after a 2-0 comeback to tie this game 7-2. They had the city on the edge of their seats once again for the first time in a long time.
There's Dan Dunleavy, final seconds of the game, and the eventual game winner from Alex Newhook at 11:22 of the overtime. Big thanks to Dan and Rob for their great work all season, and we appreciate all the extra airtime they've given us during the postseason as well, everything, especially since they've been on the radio side here. Always good to chat with them before and after and during each and every game. Dan tonight, of course, with the call there, and that is our game-changing moment, obviously a huge game-changing moment, presented by Buffalo Law. When one moment changes everything, choose the right team. Visit BuffaloLaw.com. 3-2 Montreal victorious. Brian Colziel along with Pat Mellacaro. Paul Hamilton will join us in just a few moments, but let's head to the room and get Ukko Pekka Luukkonen's take on that game-winning goal. Here is Luukkonen with Paul Hamilton.
How much hard does that sort of make this defeat to take right now?
I think it just kind of wastes that extra. Knowing how much, you know, we have put in this season as a group, how much we kind of have to battle through. It boils down to one game, one moment, and I don't know. Yeah, it's the feel good.
Well, it looked like what I saw, that the puck dipped on you. Did you see the same thing? It looked like it was coming one way and it kind of dipped down on you. How did you see it?
Yeah, it did. I don't know. It's, they got a screen going. I was in a high stance. It kind of dipped on me. And just, as I said, it just kind of boils down to that moment, and it sucks.
How about the way the team played the last two periods? It seemed like you guys, they weren't letting you get your speed. Then you got it. And it seemed like once you guys got it, you were in pretty control of the game, just couldn't get enough goals.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to Montreal. They defended well. They stuck with it. I think we did too, but I think the guys played great. That's been the story the whole season. I feel like we've been able to battle back, but went their way tonight.
You guys have come so far. Can you appreciate that right now, or do you think about that another day?
I appreciate all the guys. I appreciate everybody, you know, how much they have put in this. It's a group we have, you know, put in so much. But, yeah, and I feel like it's just, as I said, it sucks even more. We have such a good group of guys here. I think we could have gone further, but, yeah.
We'll get back to Lukanen in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there is Lukanen. He faced 25 shots and made 22 saves as the Sabres fall in overtime and their season comes to an end here tonight. We're going to hear from Tage Thompson coming up in just one moment. Lukanen, Lyon, the playoffs, the rotation that kind of was, I guess, due to the fact that each of them ended up getting pulled throughout this playoffs, Pat. It wasn't the rotation we saw through the regular season. Lindy Ruff essentially let either goaltender say, hey, you can run with it. Lyon took it a little the second half of the Boston series into the start of this Montreal series, and then a lot of back and forth here in this Montreal series.
I thought Lindy handled his goaltending situation pretty flawlessly. I would not have liked it had he played it the way that the regular season played out, because when you get to this time of year, you've got to ride the goaltender that's playing the best in that moment, and not just maybe, you know, we've seen in the past other teams alternate back and forth, and it bites them in terms of sticking with the pattern, even though one goaltender is maybe playing better than another, and it can cost you a series. Lindy did not do that. He and his coaching staff did not do that. So I think in terms of the way that he decided to go this playoff, I don't think anybody can argue with the decisions he made, and even, you know, the quick hook in game six. You let in three goals on four shots. It's a elimination game. The switch is made. The team responds, and they win that game running away, getting you to a game seven. So I think even within games, Lindy Ruff has handled his goaltending situation about as well as you could have expected or asked him to this whole playoff.
Yeah, we know Montreal, obviously, other than the one-sided affair that we saw in Game 6, stuck with Dobish the whole way. There were moments within this series, Pat, that you thought maybe Buffalo could pounce on them. They did at times take advantage. There were some chances here, obviously, in the second and the third where he came up big for them. He really did. Second star honors tonight for him.
Yeah, he made some saves, and that's the difference in them getting out of the second period still with a lead in terms of Montreal when they're kind of just saved by the bell and maybe ending the second tied, and then if you're the Sabres, you win a third period, you win the series. So Dobesh came up big when his team needed him to at big times in the series.
We are just getting on to midnight here on WGR Buffalo on our flagship station and along the Buffalo Sabres radio network. I'm Brian Culzeal with Pat Mullicarl. Paul Hamilton has now joined us here in the press box. We're still going to hear from Sabres Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin coming up here on the postgame show. We'll get to Thompson here coming up in a moment, but let's get Paul in here on this discussion here. Paul, how'd you see the game winner playing out?
Yeah, it was a knuckle puck, as Newhook talked about, and you could just see it dip on Lukanen. I'm sorry, I can't blame him on that. I mean, I know it's from the left circle. I understand that. But, you know, you're expecting the puck in one place, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just dips on you, and just bad luck. And Newhook has now won two series for this Montreal team. And quite honestly, maybe they're just a team of destiny, because they have done two game sevens now the same way, where they shouldn't have won either one, but they found a way to win. I shouldn't say they shouldn't have, because they found a way to win. And when you find a way to win, you should win the hockey game. But Buffalo was all over them. Dobish again. I mean, this just like Tampa Bay in Game 7, had all sorts of opportunities and couldn't score. The Buffalo did get two on him to get back in the game. They were down 2-0, but there were just other opportunities after opportunities, and Lindy Ruff is so right that they had some golden opportunities they missed the net on. And then other opportunities where Dobish didn't know where the puck was, but it didn't wind up in the net. And then they got a, you know, and you know me, I do not like blaming referees, but I mean, they got a really sweet call there. I mean, because Brian and I was right in front of us, and Pat, I think, was close to
right
you
there,
too.
Yep.
That puck never was frozen. It was they, in my estimation, they never gave the referee any reason to blow that whistle. It wasn't like it was covered and then came out.
Right.
It was sitting there the whole time. And Malenstein had to come from a little bit of a distance to come get it and then put it into the empty net. and the referee just blew his whistle, and he had the same look we did. It was that referee. You could see his whistle in his mouth. It wasn't the one out at the blue line.
No, it was the one that was near. It was down low in the circle, just to the side where Mahlenstein was.
And that is the second most important part of the game, other than the overtime goal. And now we don't know if the Sabres, when Montreal pulls their goalie, if they defend, they're pretty good at it. When in those situations, they're also pretty good at scoring the empty net goal, but we don't know. They still had to finish out the game, maybe because now that changes the game, and what does Montreal do? We don't know, but I think there's a pretty good chance Buffalo wins that hockey game if that goal counts the way it should have. And just another one of the long lists of things that have happened, you know, whether we're talking no goal or throwback, home run throwback or whatever that thing's called or whatever. It just keeps adding up and adding up.
Let's just remember the Bills also had their season end in overtime in Denver.
Right.
And what some Bills players thought was a bad call when they didn't get a catch from Brandon Cooks.
Now, can I also say, yes, this game, we're talking about this game.
Yeah,
Buffalo only won one of four home games here in this series. That is inexcusable. It really is. You have home ice advantage in an even series. Now, yes, I understand that Eastern Conference teams are 12-22 at home. So it's not just the Buffalo Sabres, and Carolina has four of those 12 wins. So the rest of the conference is 8-22 at home. So it's been a trend throughout the conference. And even in the West, but it's not as bad in the West as it is in the East. But still, you had four opportunities to win here in this building. All you had to do was go 50%, and you're on to play the Carolina Hurricanes, and you only won once. So that's a big part of this, too, not just this game or this one call. But they played their hearts out, that's for sure. In the last two games, they got to their game. They had to come back in this one. I thought they dominated the game. There weren't too many chances for Montreal, and then Montreal gets a knuckle puck, and they wind up winning the hockey game with all the chances Buffalo had to score, weren't able to, and then that one. Now, Dahlin took responsibility. I'm not going to disagree with him. Both Thompson and Dahlin kind of monkeyed with the puck at the blue line, and it wound up being a turnover. But the turnover was far enough back. I mean, Montreal picked off the puck, but they were halfway in their own zone.
Yeah,
it wasn't like one of those turnovers that turned us into breakaways. You know, yeah, they turned the puck over at the at the blue line when they're trying to enter the zone. It's still a turnover. To me, it's just the whole play was just circumstances. But you know, credit to the Buffalo Sabres in this season. They played their hearts out. They came from last place in the Eastern Conference in December and won the division and were second in the conference and were in overtime in Game 7 to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. And John Muckler has always told me playoffs are something that they're a process. And now a lot of these Sabres who have never been in this process before now have been in it. And this is going to sting during the summer. And I'm pretty sure they're going to work out with the idea we don't want to feel this way again. We need to do just a little bit more to get over the hump of, you know, what stopped them here. And Montreal, as I said, I don't know how they do it. They get outshot 29-9 by Tampa Bay, win the hockey game in Game 7, and move on. And in this one, for two periods, basically we're getting run over. But in both times, it was Tampa and Buffalo could not score on their goaltender enough.
I don't remember the playoffs for Montreal last year, but I think that's maybe the conversation that this Canadiens team had going into this year. They were a team that was very young, maybe didn't – it's always Montreal. You always have expectations. But what are the realistic expectations going into last year? They played well enough in the playoffs and built off of – what they did last year. So there are teams that you can look at, even within this series, to say you get to the playoffs, you're a young, plucky team that finds a way to, you know, win a round or so and build on that for the next year. And this doesn't have to be, the momentum stops tonight, but what you can build in the offseason to next year, I think can give you a lot of hope.
And every now and then a team doesn't have to grow. The St. Louis Blues are a perfect example. They went from last to first, and they didn't have to learn. So every now and then, but look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. They lost in a sweep to Columbus in an upset. So they revamped the bottom part of their I almost said order. I'm looking at a baseball guy, and I almost said order. The bottom part of their lineup, and they win two Stanley Cups. Florida, same thing. They lost the first time, you know, when they made the playoffs by 1 point over Buffalo, thanks to a 2-1 win by Alex Lyon. If it was a 2-1 Buffalo win, Buffalo would have been in, and they wouldn't. They lost in the finals, and then they won the next 2 years. So, you know, they showed us that it can be a process even for the good teams. And when John Muckler told me that, he said, look at the Edmonton Oilers, you know, right before they started winning cups right in a row, and the New York Islanders right before they started winning cups in a row. It was the same thing. So as much as it hurts fans, and the fans were great all through this, and I know the players appreciated it, and it seemed like the fans appreciated the players, I fully believe from what I've seen the character of this group that they will have a mission in mind during the summer to say, okay, we did well. We got there for the first time ever. We've learned some things. Now what do we have to do to get over the hump?
I like what Lenny Ruff said about the turnaround. And he said he even went back to when he started 2 years ago, Paul, when he said, when I took this job, I wanted these players to like being a Buffalo Sabre. Mm-hmm. And I think over the last decade or more, we've had conversations where we weren't quite sure if everybody in that room liked being a Buffalo Sabre.
Well, we were
Sabre.
Sure guys wanted to leave. Yeah. It wasn't – I don't think Jack Eichel left because he hated Buffalo or anything. He hated losing. Yeah. And the losing finally took its toll on him. So he asked to be traded. And I think that happened to a bunch of players that just – that's it. I just can't take this anymore. Credit Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson to stick it out as long as they did. Neither one of them asked to be traded. And
when there could have been opportunity, then right. If they would have said that publicly, you would have understood it.
And if you don't think they're frustrated at losing, you're crazy. Yes, they were frustrated at losing. But Rasmus Dahlin said multiple times that he's going to be here as the captain to be part of the solution, not part of the guy that leaves. So, you know, credit to those guys. They easily could have gotten sick of the losing. I don't blame Eichel for being sick of the losing, to be quite honest with you. I understand how that gets to players, and it's just a constant beating of your – it's the way they lost. They just kept losing and kept losing and kept losing. And so I don't blame him in the least that he wanted to leave. It was circumstances. A lot of folks still feel it was because of the surgery. It wasn't. They tried to trade him at the trade deadline before the surgery thing ever came up because he had asked to be traded. And Terry Pegula, quite frankly, felt betrayed by that because he had given him a 10-year contract and made him the captain when he probably shouldn't have. He wasn't ready to be captain yet. And he felt betrayed by that. And we'll never know. But it just seems like he kind of held Eichel up a little bit, you know, once the surgery thing came up. And just because he felt really upset that Eichel wanted to be traded after all that, where Dahlin was the other side of the coin. It's like, no, I'm sticking this out because I think there are good players here and I want to be part of the solution. And Dahlin was right.
That's right. All right, we're still going to hear from Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, but Paul, before we let you go here, we'll just let you kind of reflect on the season here. What a turnaround. You and I are talking in early December about us hearing rumblings about the general manager being fired. The team is in dead last in the Eastern Conference, and now here we are at Game 7 of the second round of the postseason. I know you and I 100% are willing to admit there was no thought ever that you and I would be sitting here in a press box on May 19th past midnight in the 12 a.m. in the morning.
I don't regret for 1 second what I said back then. People think, you're an idiot or whatever. Fine, you can think that.
Yeah.
There was nothing when they were in last place that told us that they could go on that run. And remember I said, if they do get back into this, it's going to take at least a 10-game winning streak. At least.
They did.
And it was the 10th game. that got them into the playoffs. So I was right about half of it. But I also said, and as I said, I don't regret it, that I don't. There's nothing that indicates to me that they're capable of doing it because they hadn't even won three in a row back then.
Right.
And I hadn't really seen much of anything that told me that they could win games in a row to do this. So they did it, though. They showed me I was wrong. They showed everybody they were wrong. And they were right. They did have the talent to do it. And I think part of it is they decided they were a hard-headed bunch a little bit. They like to do things their own way. But I think they finally decided that we're going to do things the coach's way. And they played the way Lindy Ruff was asking them to play. And once that happened, that talent became a really good team. They stopped turning the puck over. And Lindy Ruff said the minute he got here that we have to be better defensively. It didn't happen last year, and it wasn't happening this year. Then it did. Why? Because their puck decisions were better. They weren't giving the puck up. They became one of the best defending teams in the NHL. They had four defensemen who weren't afraid to get up into the rush. They had this offensive zone rotation that they would do, but the forwards were so good at covering up, you could get Rasmus Dahlin in front of the net tipping in or a Samuelson shot. We weren't expecting to see that, that one defenseman is tipping in the others. Why? Because the forward is back there covering up. And they did the rotation perfect. And it messed teams up because other teams weren't doing this. So a lot of teams would get all confused in their coverages. So, and they started doing that with Lindy Ruff. And it all clicked for them. And, there's still work to be done. I mean, what's going to happen to Alex Tuck? You know, we don't know now.
Yeah.
So, that they have till July 1st to figure that part of it out. And, what can they get done, if anything, with him? Even if he just leaves for nothing, I would not criticize Jarmo Kekäläinen in the least. I think he needed to keep Alex Tuck here because he was an important part of this run. And if he leaves to free agency and Buffalo gets nothing, I would not criticize that in the least because I would have done the same thing. I would not have traded him to whatever it was going to cost to trade him. I feel he needed to be an important part of this run. He's really the reason they beat the Boston Bruins, one of the reasons. He was, and the last two games here against Montreal, he just was snake bitten. He was Alex Tuck again, and he was flying. And he tried his best. He just couldn't get anything by Dobish. And so I'll be very interested to see how that breaks down and some other players, who's going to be here, who's not. It should be a very interesting offseason.
And the NHL draft will be right in this building, too. Don't forget about that.
Yes. It's not the NHL draft that people are thinking of. I mean, the players will be in this building, not the teams. So guys who are introduced will be going to who are like first-round picks, will be going to the stage. But the teams, I'll still be out at the stadium, with the team.
Yeah.
Somebody else, maybe Owen, will be here, with the players, But it's not the draft that you were thinking back when the Toronto Maple Leafs took Matthews here the last time the draft was here. I believe it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken. It's been here twice. This will be the third time, but it's not what fans are thinking. It's not that draft anymore. I thought that was a horrendous
change,
debacle last year, the NHL draft. It went way too long. I mean, I was expecting to be at the ballpark to do a ball game with you probably by 3-4 o'clock. I came rolling in like 10 minutes before pregame. It was just like, wow, this is not what we were expecting. And so it was a complete and utter debacle, and I'm very surprised they're doing it again. But apparently the GMs liked it, and they wanted to do it again.
All right. Well, it'll be here. I know fans can get tickets to come and watch, but it'll be, again, a different format. The teams won't be all out on the floor and everything like that. It'll, like you said, just the players themselves. All right, Paul, well, thank you very much for your work all season long. You get a little break from talking to me for a while.
Yeah, and this is it as far as, or probably could be it, and as far as some of the work that we do here. Now, just like the Buffalo Bills broadcast, there's going to be the same pregame show, the same postgame show, you know, those types of things. But, you know, the middle parts of it might not be there, but, you know, it's whether it's in Brian or Pat or Owen or Jonathan or TJ back at the studio or Brad Ryder back before Brian came. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do what I do if it wasn't for all the guys around me who make me better. You know, so it's been great to bring these games to everybody. And I just, as I said, it's not me. I wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. And I've had a blast doing it. We're still going to be doing it, but just in a little bit different form.
Yep.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Yep. Well said. Thank you, Paul.
Yep.
All right. Paul Hamilton here on the post game. Let's go back to the locker room now and continue to hear from the players. Here's Tage Thompson with Paul.
Tage, with it being so fresh, is it just difficult to kind of get your emotions in check here just to think of, you know, this series and how everything just went?
Yeah, it's tough. It stings. Thought we played hard all year to get to this point. I don't think anyone in this room felt like we were done yet. Just disappointed. It sucks.
In this game, you came back from two goals down and certainly had a lot of great opportunities. It really seemed like starting the second period, you guys really kicked it into gear. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we played a really good game, which makes it even tougher of a, you know, taste. Had a lot of chances. Oopie played great. You know, keeps it tight for us and claw our way back into it, and felt like we had all the momentum. Just couldn't score, and really thought that was gonna end different.
You look around this room in the intermission going at overtime, you're almost picturing who's gonna be a hero the way the game had gone the previous 30 minutes.
Yeah, we were feeling good in here. Tons of confidence in this room, and I think everyone in here felt like this was going to end different and probably felt like we deserved a little better outcome, but it's the way it goes sometimes. And I just gotta unfortunately take that taste with us into the summer and do something about it.
What did you see on an overtime goal? You guys looked like you had some control of the blue line and it got away from you.
Yeah, I mean, Nori snaps a few draws back and gets some good scoring opportunities there, and I think it's just kind of a bobble at the puck at the blue line. We're just trying to slap it back deep. I thought we did a great job putting the puck below the goal line all night and getting our offense from there, and didn't get it all the way deep, and they transitioned the other way, and felt like we still had numbers back, and it's in our net.
Just almost disbelief.
Tage Thompson, yeah. Post game, Brian, back to you.
Tage Thompson ends up being Buffalo's leading point getter in the playoffs through the two rounds, but it ends tonight. Alex Newhook's goal, 11:22 into the overtime, gives Montreal a 3-2 victory and a 4-3 series win in Game 7. The Canadiens will move on to the Eastern Conference Finals at Carolina starting on Thursday. The Sabres season comes to an end. We will get connected with our fans here shortly. We'll read some tweets. Send them in at Brian WGR as we'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. A couple of more stats here to look at. Let's see. In terms of some of the individual looks, Thompson and Tuck led the way with shots for the Sabres, 5 and 5. Darlene had 14 shot attempts, 5 for Darlene as well in this game. 5 shots, 9 more attempts, so 14 total. Very, very busy night for him. The Sabres have the faceoff edge, 54% to 46%. Josh Norris had a very good night on the faceoff dot, 18 of 26. He was very, very good, as was Ryan McLeod, 11 of 16. So another nice night there. The Sabres were better in the last two games in the faceoff dot for sure. Dahlin ends up playing 33 minutes and 11 seconds in this one, the most of any Sabre. Second is, let's see, it's Power, 28-47. Those two log in a ton of ice time. And right behind him, Samuelson, 28-35. Individually, the hits, the most tonight, Beck Malenstein, no surprise, he's got four. Would have been tremendous for Malenstein's goal to have counted. He's such a great interview, and maybe he could have been the game winner and be the hero that everybody remembers how we refer to Derek Plant. That would have been pretty incredible for him. So Malenstein tonight, four hits many times this year, the recipient of our collision of the game, and it's brought to you by Dan Ciaccia. Injury attorneys, don't worry. Ciaccia's gotcha. Okay, timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Rasmus Dahlin as we roll on the post-game show. Game 7 goes to Montreal in overtime. 3-2 the final. More post-game coming up here live from the press box as you're listening to the Stanley Cup playoffs on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Talk. They turn it over. Canadians come back with Buffalo changing. It's Caulfield with a shot. Big save by Luukkonen.
Oh, he had no idea if it got snuck through, but nice job pinching it off between his legs.
Couple of stops there from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in second period on Cole Caulfield. Our saves of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to the press box. 3-2 Canadiens win in overtime on Alex Newhook's game winner. 11:22 into the OT, ending the Sabres season. Locker cleanout upcoming over the next couple of days. I'm sure maybe we'll get some new injury news. We'll find out maybe who had what. That's probably going to be something that we'll find out. Our injury report brought to you by Hamburg Overhead Door. Is your garage door injured? Call the experts at Hamburg Overhead Door to get your door healthy again. We're going to hear from Rasmus Dahlin in a moment, but let's read some tweets here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. Anthony says, it sounds like sour grapes, but this felt more like Buffalo falling short than Montreal thriving. Canadians aren't particularly impressive for a team that won two series and definitely unlikable. I'd wager Montreal and Buffalo win the same number of games against Carolina.
I think that's a credit to the Sabres that they took Montreal off their game a lot because the Canadiens, well, especially when they won in this series and early on, they wore the Sabres down. Game six, the Sabres were far and away the better team after a rocky start. Tonight, they were the better team for the majority, and I think this is just a night where a couple of breaks don't go your way, and in an even series, that's why Montreal moves on.
Yeah, another tweet coming in about the quick whistle. It said, yeah, McCauley made a mistake, a bad mistake. It was the turning point. I can be mad at a ref without hating on him. I look at like the guy who cost the White Sox pitcher his perfect game. Though in this case, it cost the Sabres their season.
Yeah, and if you're the Sabres, you would like the opportunity to figure out if you get that goal, how does the rest of the game play out with the goaltender pulled? Now the flip side of the coin is you had more than just the next couple of series to plays to kind of get that goal back. So and they just weren't able to. But it's one of those where unfortunately the Sabres they had the momentum, they were not able to maybe get another grade A chance like that, and you wish they had that opportunity to kind of see if they could play with the empty net.
For those that watch the broadcast on the ESPN side of things, Dane Jackson, their rules expert, former NHL official, talked about the continuous play exception. And I know we got another tweet in here. It says about if Buffalo doesn't touch the puck after the whistle and the puck trickles in, it's a goal. So that last-second shove by Malenstein. But, I mean, how could you blame Malenstein in any capacity for that? He thinks, hey, I can stuff this in. You would do it 100 times out of 100.
The puck is loose.
It happened so quickly.
Right.
And it was also coming off of the Sabres' continuous pressure and Dahlin just tying it moments before that, that it felt like it was just, hey, this is just how they're going to go and win it, and they're going to run away with it the way it was going there. And,
it took kind of the kind of proverbial
it's
went
a bad
out
call.
Sales, right?
Really, yeah. It's a bad call. It's going to be mentioned with, like Paul said, other unfortunate, controversial calls. The Brandon Cooks catch that we have to just go back to January for here in overtime, ironically enough, with the save or with the Bills in Denver to losing to Broncos. But just probably add this one to the list, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that call cost the Sabres the game, but it's a call that should not have been made, and it would have given the Sabres the lead, and Montreal. Maybe they recover, but it's hard to believe a scenario where they do in those last couple of minutes of the third.
Yeah. Last one. I think Ron sums it up nice. He said it was a great ride and the future is bright. I think that's an accurate one to with all that Twitter brings us and all of our tweets all year long, we'll end on a positive one, a rare one here.
The conversation that you, Paul, and I had going into the year was just make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
For sure.
The goal by February wasn't just make the playoffs. The goal was you can win rounds and you can do damage and be a threat in the playoffs. So I think if you want to talk about progress, just from our conversation in September into October of what a successful year for the Sabres would look like, the fact that it ends in Game 7 in heartbreak for this team that was playing so well in this playoff shows you that they're trending in a really positive direction, and it can change that fast for you in a positive way after so much negative has snowballed down the hill for year after year.
I agree. Pat, thank you for another great year of working together. I know we've been doing this for many, many, many years together. As Paul said, we're not quite sure how the broadcast might look and sound from our end for next year, but it's been great working with you all these years.
Likewise with you, Jonathan, everybody here. It makes what's coming to the arena so much enjoyable, so much fun. The familiar faces we see up here,
yeah.
The chance to interact with the fans through the tweets and phone calls and everything has been so much fun. And yeah, who knows what September and October will hold, but these have been a lot of fun, enjoyable years. And I would not have traded it for anything. So thank you and thank everyone for their support and tuning in over these last 14, 16 years that you and I have worked together.
That's right. And you'll be back on the air tomorrow on the Bisons Baseball Network, Pat, right?
I will. I'll be making that drive to Syracuse tomorrow morning in 6:05 game, and I'll be ready to roll in from the Salt City.
All right. We'll be listening.
Thank you, Brian.
Nothing better than summer. Your windows down in the car, listen to a baseball broadcast. So that's I love listening to you and Duke quite often. And, yeah, that's part of my summer plans too. So thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Good work from Pat Malacaro. We will get the scoreboard from the rest of the sports night in a moment. But let's go back to the locker room now and hear from the captain. Here's Rasmus Dahlin with Paul.
Rasmus, from your vantage point, what happened on the game-winning play?
Play. I don't even remember. That was on me. I can't do that.
Seemed like starting in the second period, you guys really came on, got to your game. It's maybe Dobish made a lot of great saves on you guys. How did you look at the overall game once you guys got rolling?
We could have scored a few more. He had some good saves. It's comes down to small things. Today they got the bounces.
What are the initial impressions of the season ending the way it did tonight?
I don't know. Sucks.
But the overall play, the play Power made on your goal, it seemed like he was very patient waiting for you to get up into the play. And it seemed like he made a really nice play on that one.
Yeah, great play by him. Wasn't enough, though.
Everything you guys went through this season and this series, even to battle back in this game, just how hard is it to see it sort of end the way that it did?
Yeah, it's one shot that decides the whole season. It sucks.
Yeah, I know it's fresh, but are you able to kind of appreciate kind of what you guys were able to do? And, you know, you had that moment with the fans after the game, like, to put yourselves in this spot.
Not right now. Tomorrow I will appreciate more things.
Rasmus Dahlin in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Rasmus Dahlin obviously taking it hard as the captain of this team. Was hoping that there was more hockey to be played. And for the Sabres and him, the season comes to an end here tonight in overtime as the Canadiens win it 3-2, the final. All right. Got other games going on, and of course the conference finals will be upstarting in the NHL. For more on that, our drive around the league, brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Back to Jonathan to take you through it.
Thank you, Brian. Well, we now know the Final Four in the NHL, and it's going to start on Wednesday night between the Vegas Golden Knights and Colorado Avalanche. 8 o'clock puck drop in Colorado for Game 1 of that series. Thursday night will be Canadiens at Hurricanes. That is also an 8 o'clock puck drop for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. NBA Conference Finals starting tonight. Out in the West, the Thunder and Spurs in a long battle. This game goes to two overtimes. The Spurs take the first game of the series, 122-115. Victor Wembanyama, incredible numbers tonight, 41 points and 24 rebounds for Wembanyama tonight in the Spurs Game 1 victory. Baseball scores tonight, final in 12 innings between the Mets and Nationals. The Mets scored 10 runs in extra innings in the 12th. They win 16-7 over the Nets. Blue Jays and Yanks at the Bronx tonight. Yankees take that one 7-6, and the Red Sox beating the Royals 3-1 in Kansas City. Brian, back to you.
All right. Good job on the scores and all the articles. Check it out tonight, WGR550.com. And thanks for your work here over the course of the season, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Always fun hanging out here.
It's always a pleasure. And it's cool to say all the years growing up, you know, not that, you know, for any family members growing up watching the games together, we get to do this here. You know, Paul and Pat have both talked about it. We don't know what next year looks like, but it's been a long time. I've been lucky to be on the broadcast since WGR got the rights back in 2004-05 after the lockout. I've been on all different roles, you know, not necessarily on air, but, you know, I've been along the way on the production side and the behind the scenes. But, you know, these last few years at the arena has been great, and this year was especially fun, that's for sure.
Yep. Great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
TJ Luckman back in our studios. TJ, you've been producing for many, many years as well here, and you've been on the bulk of the games this year as well, and including the bulk of the playoff games. So I just want to say kudos to you and all the producer work. I'll read off the names here shortly, but thank you, because you're the man in my ear that makes it try to sound a little bit better by guiding me here along the way. So thank you for your work, TJ.
No problem. I know that all the guys producing, me especially, we're just thankful to have had the opportunities that we've had to do this with, and it'll be stuff that I know that everybody kind of remembers and carries with them after many good years on this station. I know that for the most part, I've done most of the games for at least a decade now, if not more. And I feel the need to shout out Dave Buchanan, who was doing this before me, before I took the bulk of all the games. You know, we gave it our all, and I know that I speak for many others here, but we took a lot of pride into what we did for this.
Even during the years when it felt like nobody wanted to listen to anything to do with the Buffalo Sabres.
I had some long Februaries and Marches over the past decade, and this somehow, even though we're halfway through May here, it feels like it's the quickest it's ever gone.
Yeah. Yeah, the playoffs were super fun to cover, and TJ, whether it was the many long nights during the years of the drought or this season where it felt like every game from mid-December on was special, I appreciate working with you again. And like I said, we don't know how it's going to play out for all of us next year, how it'll sound or look, but I hope that we can be together in some capacity covering this team again.
Yep, for sure. Whatever the future holds, whatever our coverage holds, I hope it's something that we do, and I would look forward to that.
Yes, I agree. Well said. Thank you, TJ. TJ mentioned some Dave Buchanan, who again was a producer for the first portion of the bulk of the seasons here that I've been hosting for 19 seasons now, and many times staring at this now empty ice and empty building after many home broadcasts, and you know, thinking, hey, am I going to get to broadcast some playoff games here? Am I going to get to broadcast some games that have a lot of meaning? Well, I got it tonight. I mean, in here for a game 7, and just as every single fan in this building and every single staff member and every single person up in the press box on the edge of your seat thinking, okay, the puck's coming in here. Could this be the end? Could this be the end? Like, at any moment. And, yeah, pretty cool sports moment. Do the Sabres come up on the short end of the stick? Yes, but I think, you know, that's why we love sports. As I said to Pat earlier, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, that line that came up, you know, many, many, many decades ago. I think it's apropos here tonight. And, you know, that's why even at times where you feel like I'm not going to buy back into sports again, you're right back at it the next day. I'm sure, you know, you might take a little break from watching hockey. My bet is I'll probably on Wednesday night have Colorado and Vegas on at my house and watching it again because it's the best reality TV live in person in front of you, and you never know how it's going to play out. Who knew tonight that this game was going to go to overtime and how it was going to play out? And maybe there a little controversy is always part of sports. We've got that for sure with the goal that maybe was wiped off the board. But, man, how cool was it to be in this building this season, and how cool was it to be in the building tonight, you know, before the game, during the game. When Buffalo ties it at 2, I just looked around, and I was taking it in. I'm like, this is why we love sports. This is why we work on this broadcast. And it was a really, really cool moment to take in. Well, I mentioned TJ Luckman. He mentioned Dave Buchanan, a longtime producer. I want to give one more shout-out. Dan Cave, who anchored for many, many years on this broadcast. I know he also was a big part of kind of our Sabres family. So kudos, a shout out to Dan Cave. Our producers this year, besides TJ Luckman, Evan DePasquale, and Dan Dale, great work by them. Jonathan Colziel, my brother up here in the press box, also up here doing fine work. Kyle Powell, also many, many, many nights over the past many seasons working our social media and game story. Check it out, WGR550.com. This work this year, we mentioned Owen Parker, who's been joining us quite a bit during the postseason. Great coverage. Owen's got a super bright future. Great analysis and perspective coming from his goalie background, and we had a great time chatting. Pat Malacaro, who I just spoke with highly of there before. Of course, Pat does such a great job with the Bison, so hope you keep listening to him. Tom Addy, our engineer. Amazing stuff from him. Brandon Nightingale, also part of our engineering staff here this year. Want to thank Alan Davis and Tim Wenger from Odyssey for their work, setting this all up, encouraging us, keeping us on the broadcast. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, many weekday pregame shows, including their work here tonight, getting you set here as they were broadcasting live from the 100 level. Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, really, really great working with them. What a great experience. Hopefully we'll be a chance to get to work with them so often. And, of course, the star of our broadcast, Paul Hamilton, as we mentioned earlier on. Paul doing such great work, who's been covering the team forever. He'll be continuing to do that next year, so a lot of fun working with Paul. And I thank you, the listeners and the fans, for tuning in. Whether it was through the long drought or through this super exciting season, we really appreciate it. My name is Brian Colziel. We'll say goodnight for one more time here from KeyBank Center. Final score in Game 7, Montreal wins it by a score of 3-2. I thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.